shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, get out your Fan the Flame booklets and turn with me to page 23. There's a place there to take some notes and jot some things down and some things that we're going to need also. You know, I think that sheep kind of get a bad rap. I mean, it is true, if you've ever been around them, they are not the brightest of the barnyard animals by any means. And they're completely dependent. They need a shepherd to feed them and lead them and to protect them. But the one thing about sheep, though, is that they will actually follow. We're not so good at that sometimes, are we? At following? Now, if I ask you, are you a leader or are you a follower? We'll probably get different opinions here this morning. Some of you, you know, naturally, you have those leadership gifts. Others are like, nah, I'm just fine being a follower. It's all good. But we are probably all wanderers, not so good at following. Because we all have minds of our own, right? I'm going to do it my way. I don't need anybody else. I'll take care of me. Sheep follow their shepherd because they trust the shepherd. Ah, we got trust issues, don't we? And it's because we've been hurt. Some of us have even been abused. People have lied to us. People have disappointed us. I don't know who to trust. I don't even know how to trust. Look with me at the top of page 23, John chapter 10, 14 and 15 from our gospel reading today. Would you just read these words with me out loud? I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We don't just have a shepherd. We have the shepherd, the good shepherd. And Jesus defines for us what he means by good. He knows us. And he lays down his life for us. And when you think about that, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, what kind of a shepherd, a human being, would die for a sheep, an animal? That's ludicrous. There's an infinite chasm of value between the two. But see, that's pointing us to the point. What kind of a God, the Creator, would die for the creature? There's an even more infinite value chasm between the two. But you see, to this God, you're not just a creature. You are a person. And he knows you. He knows you by name. And he's laid down his life for you because he loves you. Let's follow that shepherd. Let's trust him. So in our readings today, there's sort of three words that pop out. And if you want to write these down in your book, because this is going to serve as the outline for what we're going to talk about. Know, hear, and see. Know, hear, and see. So first of all, to know. Look with me again at that passage, John 10, at the top of your page. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So when Jesus says he knows us, he's not just talking about knowing mere information about us. He compares it to what he has with the Father. Think about that. How he and the Father know each other. They know the depths of each other's heart. Do you think that Jesus, the Son, ever doubts his Father's approval and love? Do you think the Father ever doubts the Son's loyalty? No, they know each other. They know each other's hearts. They are in total trust and love for each other. Jesus is saying that's the way that he wants us to know him and that he would know us. Now, on one level, of course, Jesus knows us. He knows what's going on with you and me, right? Because he's God. He knows everything. But here's the difference. It's when you invite him to know you. When you invite him into the depths of your heart to come and know him in the places that, well, you don't really want anybody to know. You want to kind of shield those off and close the door. The places in you that are filled with guilt or shame or fear, to say, Lord Jesus, come into those places because I trust you. I trust that you're going to be tender with me and gentle and merciful. But to also invite him to the places of your heart that are filled with light, filled with hope, your dreams, your deepest desires, to trust that when you invite him into those places, he's not going to just come in and just squash all your dreams. No. No, in fact, he's going to give you more than you have ever imagined, more than you could even dream about. That's how you come to know his heart. And you know him when you hear him. That's the second one. When you hear his voice. Think of all of the voices calling out to us these days, all of the messages that we are bombarded with, and most of them aren't so good, are they? All the false promises and the lies, all the put-downs. Even our own voice, the voice inside of us in our own heads, just putting yourself down, those self-defeating voices. Why do we listen to those voices? Why? You know what? Maybe sheep are actually smarter than us. I want you to take a look at this little video here. See, they won't listen to anybody else's voice, only to the voice of their shepherd. And he speaks to you, so hear him. He talks to you in his word. When you go to confession and the absolution, that's him talking to you. I mean, he might use our vocal cords. He might use the printed words there, but this is Jesus speaking to you, your shepherd, talking to you personally. I want to look at this verse at the top one last time, but here's what I'd like you to do. Take out your pen. Would you cross out where it says, my own? Two times it says, my own. Just cross that out. And then in the margin, would you write in your name? And we're going to read just this first part again. I want us to read it together, but I want you to read what you just wrote on your page. We'll just do it all together. Ready? Read it with me. I am the good shepherd. I know Spencer, and Spencer knows me. Stop there. It's personal. Okay, so we know him when we hear him, but also when we see him. The more that you follow Jesus, the more that you will see him. Of course, not see him like the disciples got to see him walking on the earth, but you will begin to see Jesus in everything that is true and is good and is beautiful. You will see him working in your life, leading the way. And then you will see him. It's what John says at the very end of our second reading. We will see him as he is. There's an old song by a guy named Charlie Hall, praise song, and he's talking about when we finally get to see the Lord. And I love this line. He says, finally, the voice that I have followed for life has a glorious face that is lit up with light. I like to get text messages. Do you like to get text messages from your, not junk ones, of course, but like friends and family? Like, we all like it when our phone, ding, oh, there, somebody wants to see me or talk to me, right? We all like that. I like text messages, but I'm old school. I would prefer to actually hear your voice and talk to you on the phone. Even better, I'd rather do FaceTime where I can hear you and see you. But even better, I'd rather be in the room with you and see you face to face. Brothers and sisters, the day is going to come where we're going to be in the room with Jesus. And we're going to see him face to face, that glorious face that is lit up with light. That face that is lit up with light because, well, that's his glory, but his face is lit up when he sees you and he welcomes you into his home. So know him, hear him, see him. That's how we follow. I got another video I want to show you of a couple families from our school who are trying to teach their children how to follow and how God is working in their lives. Let's take a look at this. Friends, that's just our privilege as a church to surround families trying to raise their children to follow Jesus. I've got three quick things I'm going to apply what we've talked about today to our lives. You might want to jot these down. Number one, the most important step is the first step. The most important step is the first step. If you're a person who's sitting there saying, okay, follow Jesus, what does that actually mean? What does that look like in my everyday life? The first step is to take the first step. Make up your mind right now, I'm going to follow Jesus. Whatever he says to me, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to say, yes, yes, Jesus, I will do that. I will follow you. And then everything that he keeps bringing to you, say, yes, just keep giving Jesus your yes. That's how you follow him. One step at a time, one yes at a time. Second one, once you become a follower, you are a leader. Once you become a follower of Jesus, you are a leader. I love what came out in that video. Not only are they trying to teach their children to be followers and Christians, but to be leaders. I love what Matt said. You know, he tells his kids every day, be the light, be the leader. The best kind of leader in this world is a follower of Jesus. You want to be a great leader in your family? You want to be a great leader where you work? You want to be a great leader among your friends? Be a follower of Jesus. Do what we've talked about today. Because if you know Jesus and you hear Jesus and you see Jesus, what do you think people are going to know and hear and see in you? They're going to see Jesus. As you follow him, when they follow you, guess what? They're following you as you follow him. And they're going to come to find out, here's the one I can trust, the shepherd. And you know what? They might also start to trust you. There's just not a lot of trustworthy people in the world today, are there? But they're going to come to trust you because they're going to say, there's something different about this person. They're like that shepherd they talk about. They're not just thinking about themselves all the time. They're actually willing to lay down their lives for the sake of others. And then the last application I want to make is very specific to this journey that we are now on as a church as we get ready to make our generosity commitments here in a few weeks. If you were here last week, I asked everyone, you know, would you right now commit to making a commitment? Start thinking about it, start praying about it, asking the Lord, Lord, what would you want us to do? How can we give to you? We'll do the commitments later, but just commit to making a commitment right now. But as you're thinking about that, here's something to kind of chew on. The last point, make your money follow your heart, not your heart follow your money. Make your money follow your heart, not your heart follow your money. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If he is your treasure, that's where your heart will be, with him, with Jesus. So make your money follow your heart as your heart follows Jesus. But if your heart is somewhere else, well, guess what? The money will follow. If your heart wants something else, the money will follow. If your heart is worried about something else, the money will follow, or the money will actually get stuck. We all worry about money, don't we? Raise your hand if you ever have worried about money. We all do. If you don't do that, if you don't worry about money, I need to talk to you after church. I want to find out how that works. How much money do you have? I mean, of course, even when we have lots of money, we still worry about it. Right? We get worried about it. And so as we're taking this journey together, we go, okay, yeah, I want to give to Jesus and I want to support what's happening, and yet I got all these bills and all these expenses and inflation is crazy, is it not? Like, what is going on? And we just don't know what the economy is going to bring. I know. But do you trust him? And if you trust him, do you trust him with your money? All I can tell you is the very thing we just have talked about today. Know, hear, and see. Know his heart for you. Jesus is always for you. And then hear. Hear what he says to you personally. I want to share one more passage with you, and as I read it, I'd like you to hear Jesus' voice speaking this right into your heart. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? The rest of the world seeks after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Know him, hear him, and then see what he'll do. I want to close this out with a prayer that's at the bottom of page 23 there. As you're beginning to think about your generosity, maybe this is the first time you've ever really thought about giving before, or maybe it's the first time, maybe you've given before, but like this is the first time you've ever thought about like really stretching in your giving. Or maybe you're like, "I've been here before, we've done this before, I know how this works," right? And that's how you're feeling. Doesn't matter where you're at in that journey right now. Would you just, as we get ready to take our offering today, would you just pray this little prayer with me at the bottom of page 23? Jesus, my good shepherd, I want to follow you. I want my money to follow you. I am listening to you. Tell me what you want me to do, and I will do it. I trust you. Amen? Amen. Let's gather our gifts for the Lord because we do trust him and we love him. And we'll prepare the table where he will feed us with this banquet. The shepherd is about to feed the sheep.